Heavenly rewards. Heavenly rewards. Heavenly, because they are from God, given to believers in heaven. Rewards, because they are a result of the good works that believers do on earth. Last time we were together, we talked about the theology of heavenly rewards. We kind of gave an introduction of what they are. And I want to make, again, this point very clear. Because we have such a tendency in our society to have this mentality that I am a good person, therefore I deserve heaven. That is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches we do not deserve heaven. The Bible says we deserve eternal death. Separation from God. But the Bible gives a gift, that is Jesus Christ, who died in our place, took that death penalty so that you and I don't have to die. And the Bible says you believe in that, you believe in Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. And through the righteousness of Jesus Christ, you then are given eternity in heaven. But it's only through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Notice, it's only through the grace of God at work in your life that you can even know eternity in heaven. So it's the grace of God that's at work in your life. But the Bible very clearly talks about this concept of a judgment that will come where the believer's works will be evaluated, both the good and the bad. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. You can turn there and then we will go to the first letter of Corinthians. But first, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. This is a review, but I want to remind us again. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, whether to that he hath done, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now, sadly, I believe many believers either are ignorant of this fact or have forgotten this truth. The fact that every believer's works will be evaluated by the Lord Jesus Christ. It has saddened my heart to see believers that once they are saved, they go on living their own life, clinging to their fire insurance. I'm saved from hell, and that's enough for me. And that is the sad reality of many, many people out there today, in that they profess the name of Jesus Christ, but their lives do not follow suit. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about that, and that's not the subject of our time today, but I do want us to understand the reality that all believers have an inheritance of eternal life. But there is also this concept of the judgment seat of Christ where believers will stand and their works will be evaluated, the good and the bad. Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. First Corinthians chapter 9 speaks of Paul, and Paul's writing this, and he speaks of his roles and his rights as an apostle. If you were to read the entire chapter, you would see that he is seeking to make a case for his apostleship. And they, at some point, must have tried to find fault in the way he was ministering. Paul boasts in the truth that he has asked nothing of them, yet has fulfilled his calling of ministering the gospel among them. You look at verses 19 through 23, you see that he explains that he has gone to the great extremes to see that the gospel is effectively communicated to all people. look at verse 22. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Look at verse 23, where he says, and this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. And so what you see here is you see Paul, he's defending the way he is ministering or has ministered in Corinth. And in the process, he is bringing to light the motivation or the attitude that he has taken upon himself in order to please God and in order for the gospel's sake, for the gospel to go forth. And he illustrates this in verses 24 through 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. Follow along as I read. Know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beats the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now, right in the middle of that passage, you saw the word crown, didn't you? You saw this concept of a reward, a crown. Now, let me just illustrate for you what Paul had in his mind as he is writing this to the Corinthian church. The city of Corinth, in fact, I like Bible maps, so go back to your Bible maps and I want you to see where Corinth is. Okay, it's probably on Paul's missionary journeys. It's on that map, and you will see a KI probably right in the middle. And you will see that Corinth is right just due west of Athens. You found it? I like to tell people, if your Bible does not have maps, consider when you get a new Bible, make sure it's got maps in it. Okay? All right, look at Corinth. Corinth is on what's that piece of land? It connects two larger pieces of land. It's called isthmus. Yes, something like that, all right? Now, on there, and what's interesting about this place, major, major trade route. Corinth was a very popular place. Interesting that Paul chose that as a hub there in Greece, not Athens. Corinth was a place where they would even drag ships across the isthmus to get from one sea to the next. But on this isthmus, they had what was called the Isthmian Games. You get the idea, right? It's an isthmus, yeah. Games. I should have practiced that, but I didn't. All right, these games were similar to our Olympic Games today. They were held every 2 years, whereas the Olympics have been held, and ever since 700 BC or so, been held every 4 years. These were held every 2 years, the year after the Olympics, and the year right before. Okay? So they would surround the Olympics. They would be athletic games. They would involve running and boxing, as we see Paul alluding to here in his illustration. But he draws this illustration from that fact because Corinth was in charge of the games. And everybody in Greece was invited to this event, and they could participate. Now, in this place, and during these games, you'd have all these different athletic events. You would have one who would be a proclaimer, a herald who would call the people to the race and starting blocks. They would be the one that would be announcing the winners. And they would stand before a great seat where they would be awarded a crown. Now, what's interesting about this crown is in our minds, we have this fairy tale concept of a crown. And it's this gold thing that's got all these jewels in it that sits on your head, kind of heavy and looks uncomfortable. But now, these crowns were much different. In fact, these crowns were made of celery. The celery plant. Okay? And the celery plant was woven into a wreath. And this wreath would have been placed on the victor's head. Now, what's unique about that is no one else had a crown of celery, only the victor. Now, what did that mean? Well, that meant honor. That meant prestige. It marked them out as one who had won the race. All right, so that's the illustration, that's the background of it, and that's why Paul is using it to the Corinthian church, because, hey, they know all about athletic contests. So now, with that in mind, let's look at the text. Paul says, verse 24, "Know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize?" In this passage, you and I, as we walk away from this, I believe God is going to want to challenge your heart to run with purpose. Run with purpose. In other words, have a reason. Have a motivation for your life. Why do you wake up every day and go and do the things that you do? Is there a purpose behind it, or are you aimlessly just living life? You know, the sad thing about parents, and praise God and the grace He's shown to my wife and I, but He's shown us early on that we must be purposeful in our parenting. In other words, that we must have a goal for our children. Many times it's as simple as obeying immediately. And if they do not meet that goal, there is discipline. But you see, if you do not have a goal, if you do not have the purpose behind what you do, then things just go on. And there's no discipline. There is no boundaries. Now, Paul's speaking of this and this idea of running with a purpose, running on purpose, in the concept of living for the gospel and proclaiming the gospel, that the gospel might go forth, that all people might know the truth. Well, what's important about running with purpose is you need to understand that you, first of all, are in a race, that you're in a struggle. Have you ever thought about that, Christian? Have you ever thought of the reality that this life is more than just living and dying? It's a race. It is a struggle. These are illustrations that the Bible uses to speak of the Christian life. Now, Hebrews chapter 12, of course, is probably a popular one that you might have in your mind. Hebrews chapter 12, wherefore, verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Verse 2, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds." The concept of a race. The Christian life is not an easy life. It has never been built that way. It truly is a struggle. Interesting that this word and this concept behind the race, we get our English word agonize from it. If you were to look at the Greek term, it would have, you could see agony right there. Are you experiencing, have you experienced agony in your Christian life? And what I'm saying is, and we should not go out and look for incredible struggle, look, oh, please give me a struggle. No. But you should experience the pain of going against the current. The current of the world is this way. We live for Christ this way. The Bible also talks about this race, and it involves the souls of men. We see that in 1 Corinthians, back in chapter 9. We saw that in verse 23, where it says, "And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be a partaker thereof with you." So this race that we're in is a struggle. It involves the souls of men, and it involves a battle that takes place in the spiritual realm. You know, you're familiar probably with Ephesians 6, where it talks about the spiritual armor and it talks about the reality of a spiritual battle that exists. There is a very real battle going on for the souls of men. And part of that battle is to thwart the efforts of believers so that the cause of the gospel might be stunted. Run with a purpose. Understand, first of all, you are in a race. You are in a struggle. This is not just a walk through life. But this is a race. This is agony for the cause of Christ. Also, with running with purpose, understand you're in a race or in a struggle, but also understand that God desires disciplined runners. Discipline. How many of you like discipline? You know, it's interesting, just recently, the last couple of months, I will not mention any names, but there are two individuals that were having a contest to lose weight. And as they were doing that, I am sure that they had to be disciplined. You know, you have to not get that bowl of ice cream before bed, right? But your body, you want that bowl of ice cream, right? Yes, you do. Just, come on. You know what my struggle is, right? Ice cream. But God desires disciplined runners. God desires people that show discipline in their efforts, in their events. I found this illustration. Now, this is not about running, but this is about shooting a rifle in the Olympics. But listen to this. Lanny Basham, Olympic gold medalist in a small bore rifle competition, tells what concentration does for his marksmanship. "Our sport is controlled non-movement," he writes. "We are shooting from 50 meters, over half a football field, at a bullseye 3/4 the size of a dime. If the angle of error at the point of the barrel is more than five thousandths of a millimeter, you drop into the next circle and lose a point. So we have to learn how to make everything stop. I stop my breathing. I stop my digestion by not eating for 12 hours before the competition. I train by running to keep my pulse around 60, so I have a full second between heartbeats. I've gotten it lower, but I found that the stroke volume increased so much that each beat jolted me. You do all of this, and you have the technical control, but you have to have some years of experience in reading the conditions, the wind, the mirage, and then you have the other 80% of the problems, the mind." But think about this discipline. This guy's just shooting a rifle. What's he doing running? Come on. Why run to shoot a rifle? Why not eat for 12 hours before the competition? It's discipline. Now look at our text. "Know you not that they which run in a race, they run all. They give it their all, but one receives the prize." What's he speaking of? The Isthmian Games. One gets the crown. "But one receives the prize, so run that you may obtain. Every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things." Temperate, self-controlled, disciplined. "Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. So understand, God desires disciplined runners. They run giving their all. You know what that means as a Christian? Do you realize what that is saying for us as believers? We are to run in this race giving our all. I'm sure you have something in your life that you give all of your efforts towards, some area of life. Now, those things could be of great value, or those things could be things that are really of very little value, very little eternal merit. But we understand here that we're in a race, we're in a struggle, and that God desires us to be disciplined. Those who run giving their all, and those who run that they may obtain the prize. I want you to notice in this text that Paul is not presenting the concept that as we run in the Christian life, we're all competing against each other. Okay? There, he makes this distinction in the illustration. Because that is important, because we're not out to compete and outdo one another in the Christian life. Otherwise, really, you would be racing and living for yourself. You see how that living for God, it keeps you straight. We're running so that we may obtain the prize, that we are worthy to receive a prize. Paul's focus is more on the way you run, not on who wins. It's important, for there exists no contest for God's favor, only a striving to receive God's favor. Now notice, I'm talking about believers here, all right? So do not get the idea that we're saved by striving to please God. No. But if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, there is this race, this agony that we are in, and we are to strive to receive God's favor. We're not in a contest to get God's favor. We're not competing for that. But we are striving to receive God's favor. Run in such a way that you may win. The context is everyone in the race is striving for the same thing. They are all are there because they have disciplined attitudes and a purposeful focus. God desires disciplined runners. Self-control. You know what that means? Saying no to hidden areas of your life, sins in your life. Do not go on living with this excuse in your mind. It's okay for me to have one thing in my life, one area of weakness. It's okay for that. Everybody's got weaknesses, so it's okay for... No! If that is an excuse that you have promoted, get it out of your mind. Because God wants us to strive to be holy. So do not be content in saving or keeping safe areas of sin, laziness, discontentment, anger, bitterness. You fill in the blank. God wants us to constantly be agonizing and striving to please Him. We are to have an internal zeal to excel and grow. A zeal, an excitement, a desire to grow in Christ. God wants us to run with purpose, and He wants us to seek the eternal. There's a passage in Matthew, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Jesus also said, "Build up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal." Seek the eternal, church. Live for the eternal. Paul, in this illustration, He's taking this picture of the athlete, and they strive, and they cross the finish line, and they come before the Bema seat, and they receive this wreath. Yes, I got a dying plant on my head. Incredible honor went with that and everything else. But he makes this point, and you look at your text, to the end of verse 25. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. Corruptible is another way of saying dying, perishing. But we, in other words, notice he uses the pronoun we, including them, us, and himself. But we do it for an incorruptible crown. Well, what would that mean? A crown that never decays, never dies. And I believe this is a crown that believers will receive as they strive and live faithfully to please the Lord with self-discipline and self-control. In the illustration, you notice that Paul is jumping out of the illustration to make this point. He says, talks about the race. But then he says, now listen, you guys, you see how they run, they get a corruptible crown, but listen, you strive for something that will never die. And these are things, the things of God. Seek the eternal. Paul wants the believers to not miss the infinitely greater value of the prize given by the Lord. Verses 26 and 27 build on this concept. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. We run with purpose. We seek the eternal. We live with discipline. You look at these closing verses of this chapter, and you will notice, and I just want to give you some understanding on some of these words. I therefore so run. You could also say, I am running, not aimlessly. So fight I. This is actually literally fighting. I am fighting with clenched fists. I'm boxing. So fight I, not as one that beats the air. What happens when you're in a boxing match and you swing and you miss? You open yourself up for the counterattack. A purposeful, skilled, disciplined boxer rarely will miss. But I keep under my body. Interestingly enough, some translate this as I beat myself black and blue. I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. You want a good definition, good picture of self-control and discipline? Here it is. I bring it under subjection to lead away into slavery. You want to understand how to be a disciplined person, disciplined runner for the Lord Jesus Christ? I take my fleshly desires and the lusts and the things that I desire in life, and I lead them in a way in slavery to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I am His slave. I serve Him and Him alone. And my flesh and all my desires and everything go towards serving Him and exalting His kingdom and the spreading of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, I do all that, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself might become a castaway. One who, as people watch and see me, they cast me aside as someone who is unworthy to follow, someone who is not faithful in living out the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we see in this text, there is an incorruptible crown There is this crown that will never fade, will never lose value. And this crown is given to those people that strive and run in this race of life as a Christian. God desires you today to recognize that you need to run this Christian life on purpose, with a purpose. Realize you're in a race. You're in a struggle. It's very real. There's agony. There's going to be agony involved. Prepare yourself for that. But notice and listen to the fact that the grace of God overshadows them all. We're going to close with this text in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I want you to notice this. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1 says, "Now therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries," there's an athletics again, "if he strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully." What was the first verse in that text? "Therefore, my son, be strong in the" what? "The grace of the Christ Jesus, of Christ Jesus." Believer, are you afraid? Are you afraid of what this race might have for you? The agony that may be in your future as you seek to step out and live faithfully for the Lord? Dear ones, God's grace is your platform upon which you stand. It's your running shoes. You run in the grace of God. And His grace will carry you through. And it is the grace, it's only by the grace of God that you and I can have these works to live and please God. We're saved by the grace of God. We're kept by the grace of God. And we live to please God by the grace of God. Amen? Amen. Lord Jesus, thank you for our time together. I want to praise you for these moments and these truths that you've brought across our paths. Lord, I pray that you would empower, encourage, edify your people today. That as we go from this place, we have heard from you and we embrace it as truth. I pray, Lord, that anything that has not been of you would be quickly forgotten. And I want to praise you for answering prayer this morning. Praise you for carrying me through. Praise you for the words that have come forth. And we want to honor you today. In Jesus' name, amen.